But I'm so thrilled that y'all are here today, and just make yourself at home. And I'm glad to see Brother Kenny and Miss Renita and their wonderful family here this morning. And the Lord has opened a new door of opportunity and service for him. And so I'm going to let him come and share with Promised Land what the Lord's laid on his heart. And, of course, him being the former pastor here, and just pray for him. I know a lot of you do, and you have been. And so, Brother Kenny, just come share what God's laid on your heart.
Good morning. It's good to see you and good to be in this wonderful place this morning. And thank Brother Michael for allowing me to have just a few moments of your time to share with you what God has placed upon my heart and where He is leading me spiritually and physically. A lot of you know I've been in the northwest part of the state for 4.5 years now, and I resigned the church that I was a part of for that length of time. And you know, sitting in your home and wondering what God has for you next can be scary. A lot of you may not know that unless you're a pastor, but you know, I resigned not having a place to go and just done a lot of soul searching and asking the Lord what His will would be for my life, and not knowing that God was already preparing some things. And that's I guess the scary part. We can't see what God's doing sometimes until He finally reveals it to us. But about 3 weeks ago, he revealed to me that there needs to be another work in Northwest Arkansas. If you've ever been in that part of the state, you know it's a fast-growing area. There's not quite as many people moving up there as there was 4 years ago. 4 years ago, there was 1,000 people moving up there every month, being involved with Walmart or just being a vendor for Walmart, selling product. Now it's about 500 on the average of people moving there every month. Still a lot of folks. We have one work in Bentonville, Arkansas. We have two in Rogers. And then, of course, we have one in Springdale. If you put all those churches together, you may have 100 people on Sunday morning. To me, that's sad because I don't know what's going on as far as some of our churches, but I know that we ought to be running a lot more than that in attendance. My flesh was ready to move back south. To tell you the truth, my father has an empty home there in Sheridan, Arkansas, and that's where most of my family lives. So I was about ready to pack up and head back south, and there was a group of people that called my home about 3 weeks ago and asked to meet with me and my family. And would love to start a new work in Northwest Arkansas. Of course, I had to pray about it. And my heart just couldn't leave that area. As bad as I would love to be with family, my heart is still in Northwest Arkansas. So they voted to call me as their missionary. And we began to meet 3 Sundays ago. Today is the 3rd Sunday that they're meeting. The first Sunday we met, we had 84 for worship service and had one joined by statement in our evening service. And we were meeting presently in the Morning Star schoolhouse, which hadn't been a schoolhouse since 1950. So it was a small building. And I had some pictures I was going to show you, but we couldn't get the computer to straighten up. But hopefully I can come back and show you some pictures. But we were supposed to start meeting in an elementary school the first Sunday of April, which will be next Sunday. They're going to let us have the cafeteria, and it's got a stage in the cafeteria, got all the sound system. They're going to let us have all the classrooms that we need, the gym, for $150 a Sunday. And so the Lord has really opened up doors. He's blessing already. We've had 3 visiting families that were with us last Sunday from the area, first-time visitors. So the Lord's just continuing to bless. The mission is right now able to take care of my salary as far as that. But going back to the expensive, how expensive things are there. Land is very, very expensive, and we've been looking at several acreages across that part of the country where we're at. The acreage per price is around $20,000 to $30,000 an acre, and I know that sounds expensive, but that's just how it is up there. The land that we've located is about 18 acres. They'll split it up, or we can have the whole thing. We're looking at about $500,000 just for the land. And I know that that's a lot of money for any of us, but I serve a big God. And God is already supplying those needs. We've already got $10,000 raised toward land in the 3 weeks that we've been meeting. And I've already had some invitations to go do some other deputation work in the future. But we're trying to raise money for land right now, and you pray for us, and you pray for my wife, you pray for my three kids as we continue to labor there in Northwest Arkansas. We've called the new work the Solid Rock Baptist Mission, and so you pray for us. We love you, and I pray that you'll just remember us in your prayers because I know in my heart I'm doing the right thing. I know I'm exactly where God wants me to be. And so you pray for us, and if you can help us financially, I know that you will, and we're going to continue to pray for you and pray for your dear pastor, Brother Michael, and as he continues to labor here. So keep us in your prayers. May God bless you. I think I'm going to sing a song. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Right now? I think that's what we're going to do, if that's okay. This is a song that I've sang here quite a bit. It's entitled Holy Ground. And I like this song because it reminds me that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's promised to be in the midst of us. And I know He's here. And you hold a very special place in my family's heart. And I just pray that you'll continue to uplift us and pray for us as we do this mission work. Listen to the words. Holy Ground. As I walked through these doors, I felt His presence, and I knew this was the place where love abides. For this is the temple, Jehovah God abides here. For we are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Now we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Presence, there is joy beyond measure, and at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. And if you have a need,
I know He has the answers. Just reach out and claim it. Child, you are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Jesus now, we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Let us praise Jesus now. Are standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Sharing
that. And I tell you, we need to be praying for the work up there in northwest Arkansas. Pray that God would open the doors and maybe allow some great opportunities to come, especially through the moving and the purchasing and everything going on. Prayer request, of course, remember Brother Kenny and his entire family, Solid Rock Baptist Mission. Remember our revival, Brother Glenn. Already contacted him, and he'll be here ready to go Tuesday night through Friday night. Pray for him. Amen.
Stand up and be strong. Another victory is in store. It's time to be courageous in the power of the Lord. Now let's move out together and leave our fears behind. Stand up and be strong. The Lord is on our side. Stand up and be strong. Another victory is in store. It's time to be courageous in the power of the Lord. Now let's move out together and leave our fears behind. Stand up and be strong. The Lord is on our side.
We challenge every family serving God across this land to stop and really listen like God's people only can. He's calling for an army to rise and take a stand, claiming every promise. We'll see God's almighty hand.
Stand up and be strong. Another victory is in store. It's time to be courageous in the power of the Lord. Now let's move out together and leave our fears behind. Stand up and be strong. The Lord is on our side.
When we get discouraged, we can stand on what we know. The truth that lasts forever forces enemies to go. We'll join our ranks together, rejoicing all the way, watching God deliver every prisoner as we pray.
Stand up and be strong. Another victory is in store. It's time to be courageous in the power of the Lord. Now let's move out together and leave our fears behind. Stand up and be strong. The Lord is on our side. Now let's move out together and leave our fears behind. Stand up and be strong. Stand up and be strong. Stand up and be strong. The Lord is on our side.
They used to be. Oh my goodness, they've just grown up. I'm so proud of y'all. I am. And Brother Kenny's come out of his shyness. That's I'm glad that finally happened. You know, I was studying this week on the Sunday school lesson, and one statement just came out and just hit me like a fresh breath of air. It was just studying about Nehemiah, and it said, you remember all the heroes of the Bible, all the heroes you can think of in the Bible. And I sat there and I thought of all the ones we'd studied in Bible school and in Sunday school, and thought about them, and it said they were nothing but ordinary men, but God took them and made something out of them. And that just hit me, ooh, you know, when Trey was talking about preaching, I was just like, this is the little boy that I had to hold his head up to look in people's eyes sometimes, because he wouldn't look in the eyes when he was talking to him, you know, and I tried to always say, please look people in their eyes, you know. And now he's up in the pulpit preaching and looking in people, you know, and I'm just like, God can do this. God can take someone as ordinary as you and I, and he can make something very powerful out of it. And I challenge you this week, take that power with you and let God use you. And if you do not know the Jesus that can do this, we pray that you will accept him today.
Amen.
Thank you.
And Clayton, can you get that church there in the middle and everybody can reach it? Y'all walk slowly. Here they come. Okay. All right. Okay. Can anybody, there you go, Patrick, slip that in there. There you go. And there's one behind you. Can anybody in here tell me, where does hamburger meat come from? I don't know either. I think I know. Where does hamburger meat come from? Anybody know? Hamburger meat? It comes from a cow. It does, okay? Let me ask you this. Does anybody know where bacon comes from? Where does bacon come from? Anybody know where bacon comes from? Bacon comes from a pig. From a pig, yeah. Where does milk come from?
Cow.
All right, yeah. Cow. That's good. Oh, damn. You got it right. Okay. Where does spaghetti come from? I don't know either. So, but here's one thing I do know. The Bible says in 1 John that love comes from God. Real, true love comes from Him. So if there's something you love, it's probably because it's a gift from God. And God loves you. Did you know that? God loves you more than anything. So everyone bow your head and close your eyes. Father, I thank You that You do love us. Even when we mess up, even when we make mistakes, Father, I thank You for all the good gifts You give us. I thank You for these wonderful young people. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Amen. Y'all walk, please. Okay, Miss Liz, got it today. Y'all be careful. There you go. Thank you.
Got a little help this morning. We went to Women of Faith this weekend, and we had a wonderful time. It was 10 of us. So I recruited Shelby to help me this morning. But the theme of Women of Faith this year was a grand new day. And what a beautiful day that we have to start that grand new day on this morning. And all of us as brothers and sisters in Christ can start it together here this morning and worship God. But it's just got to be God. Barbara picked out, "Do You Know My Jesus?" And the song we had picked out was "Mighty to Save."
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. You find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything that I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. He is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, You can move the mountain. God, You are mighty to save. You are mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. You rose and conquered the grave. Yes, You conquered the grave. You're mighty to save.
Amen. Thank you so much for all the special music. I hope and pray that you picked up a bulletin on your way in. Same scripture as we had last week, Psalm 51. Before I begin reading, Brother Evan and I, on the way to school Monday, it was a pretty hilarious moment. When we realize that, a lot of times when we take the young people place, I don't know if y'all know this, but young people and cleanliness do not always go together. And they're not always the neatest and cleanest bunch. So a lot of times the church van, and I hopefully can survive this, the church van is not exactly clean after a youth outing. You have to clean it up, get volunteers or whomever. Sometimes just the preacher or the youth guy will clean it up, pick it up. And anyway, so the last people to use it before Monday were adults and seniors, if you will. I don't know about seniors, but they went to Gaithers. And Evan and I looked around, and there was medicine laying around and Fix-A-Dent laying around, and and we just said, all those seniors, they done got a hold of the church van. And so it's not only seniors. but I'm glad we're using that thing, and we use it all the time. I'm glad the church has it for the church's use. Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. All of these verses have to do with confession. And I'll finish reading verse 4, then let's go to verse 12. Verse 4 says, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. Open, O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. Last week we talked about the need of revival, and are we going to have revival? The last 2 points are this. Why do we need revival? And when will we see revival? I remember in my lifetime seeing some awesome revivals, seeing people, I would think, man, I never see them come to church. But that's a great thing. I hope this week we have people that in church that I have never met. I hope this week in church we have people that don't come very often. If you just come for normally Sunday morning worship, then just come on. Enjoy it. I know the singing will be good. I know the fellowship will be good. I know the preaching will be good. And I hope that you come with an open heart and ready to say, God, what do you want to say to me today? And that's a great attitude to have when you come to church. God, speak to me. What do you want me to know about you this morning and the rest of this week? Why don't we need revival? And I'll fly through these real quick. Let's go over them. I don't know if you know this, but we all sin. Therefore, we need revival. We all stray to some degree, but that's why we need revival. Because we all slack. Boy, I remember I had a teacher one time. That was her favorite thing. Y'all are getting a little slack around here. You know, and she'd be talking about our grades or whatever, or maybe our mouthing. I don't know if it still goes on. Some of these school teachers can correct me, but I'll never forget Miss Krusner's class. She was a great teacher. And, you know, in all the whoopings I got, I think except for one, I deserved, okay? I won't get into that. But I remember I was leaning over talking to this girl named, I think her name was Tiffany Whidden. And I was leaned over the desk, and I was talking to Tiffany. And all of a sudden, my backside lifted off the ground at least 8 inches. And it's because Miss Krusner had that 4-foot paddle out and swung it like a baseball bat and said, Michael, get in your seat! And right then and there. And yeah, I strayed. And so there's a lot of times you can think of times, whether it be in school, that you've strayed. Also, or we've gotten slack. And then also because we sleep. And I, you know, I think about going to sleep. And not just, you know, some people come to church. We have a lot of shift workers in here. And some people are just wired so that if they sit still for 5 minutes, they're getting drowsy. Maybe you're wired that way if you just sit still. And it's not, they say, Brother Michael, it's nothing against you. And I say, I understand. Some people sit still for 5 minutes and they start going to sleep. Maybe because the way they're wired, maybe they don't get enough sleep or whatever. I don't know. But let's look at these real quick. Let's go now, if you will, to the book of 1 John and talk about sin. And we all need forgiveness of sin. And I thought it was neat that the last point of this entire sermon is also on the cover of the bulletin. And I don't know if Miss Denise planned it that way, but that was pretty cool and pretty awesome. And I looked back there and saw Miss Marlene, and still got that song Eastbound and Down going through your mind. Okay. They were traveling back, coming east, and listening to Jerry Reed, I guess. But anyway, we all sin. We all mess up in life. Your pastor sins. I don't have to tell you that your spouse sins. I don't have to tell you that your children sin. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans, now that's Romans 3:23. Now Romans 3:10 says it a little bit different. It says there's none righteous. No, not one. Nobody. Nobody is right with God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that when we are righteous, when we're right, and basically I've shared with you what is righteousness, being right with God. When we are righteous, the Bible says it's the righteousness of Christ in us. So it's not even our own righteousness when we're right with God. So the only way to be right with God is through His Son and knowing Him and believing Him and living for Him. And so we're all sin. And folks, you can't have revival until you realize you sin. I put in there adultery, drinking, cussing, One time I used in an outline swearing, talking about cussing, and someone said, you should have said swearing. I said, everybody in Ashley County knows what cussing is. I'll just use that word, okay? And cheating, stealing, lying, and gossip are wrong and sinful. All of these are some of the most common sins in Ashley County. Now, you might could throw in there drug use. Yeah, you could throw that. But, you know, that that could be fall under another category. We all sin. Folks, even since I've been a preacher, I've lied. Even since I have been a preacher, I have gossiped. I have said things I shouldn't say. And even as a preacher of the gospel, I've committed murder. According to the Bible, you can murder someone with the words you say. Therefore, I'm guilty of murder. According to the Bible, I'm guilty of adultery because of my heart and my lust of my flesh. The Bible says I'm guilty of adultery. Most men are, whether they admit it or not. So, in knowing this, I also put failing to attend church, praying, witnessing, tithing, reading your Bible, using your talents. If you don't do these, failing to do these things, it's wrong and sinful. But many of us don't look at it that way. That, you know, well, if I'm not right with God, there's only one thing that's keeping you from being right with God, and that's sin. So I must admit that there's sin. Another reason that our church needs revival is because we stray. Now, 1 John chapter 1. I was visiting with our Swans man yesterday. We have a Swans man that comes by every couple weeks. And I think he has surrendered to the ministry. And he goes to an independent Baptist church. His name is Jeff or Jeffrey, and I wrote his name down, phone number and all that. I don't know exactly which one he goes by, but anyway. And he's talking about going to seminary and with us in Benton. I say with us. He'll meet us up there because Camden's not on the way to Benton. And he asked if we could come by and get him. I said, no, we're not going through Camden to get to Benton. But I thought it was neat, and we were talking about 1 John yesterday, a matter of fact, chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with, and I'm just going to start filling in the blanks here, with God. I'm right with God. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Now, this first John 1, 6, as I read this, you're going to see why a lot of people in our church and in our community need to get closer to God. It says, okay, basically verse 6 says this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, which means this. You say, well, preacher, me and the good Lord have an understanding. We're all right. I have heard that from people who I was talking to one old boy the other day, and I mean, crappie fishing dude, and just loves the outdoors, and I spend my time with God, and that's what they're saying. I don't have to go to church, but me and the man upstairs have an understanding. That's the way it was put. So, and I say that, and it says here, if we say that we're right with God, that's what the first part of verse 6 says, and we walk in darkness, and we lie and do not the truth, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, well, let me just stop right there. What does that mean? Walk in the light means you're walking. If you're walking with God, you're walking in the light. The Bible says He is light. And in His presence, there is no darkness. So if I'm walking in the light, it means I'm right with God because I'm walking with Him. Verse 6 says you're walking in darkness. But you're lying. What that means is saying, well, me and the man upstairs have an understanding. But our walk doesn't match our talk. And the Bible says we never produce any fruit. I mean, if you never produce any fruit, and the Bible says you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. And if we never produce any fruit, probably because there's no life there. May need to check up on your salvation. I met someone the other day that said that they were saved at such a young age that they forgot. Matter of fact, it was one of my seminary students. They forgot their experience with the Lord. But I said, have you ever produced any fruit? Well, he said, yeah. I said, well, you can remember that, don't you? I can go back. And I didn't jot it down, but I can remember the time that I got saved. And I remember the time that I came to know the Lord as my Savior. We also, not only do we sin, but we also stray. When we slack, the Bible says that, I put in here, teachers, officers, workers can remember how they used to be diligent but now are slack. Now, let me just talk about that. Why? I got time. This is normal in life. Any wives in here have any husbands or any of your... They first get their first boat or their first, some of these guys got motorcycles. And they're so clean, you could eat off these motorcycles. They're so clean. And, when you first get something, it's really exciting to you. And I think about our kids, because of grandkids, Taylor Reese has only had 2.1 million toys, okay? That's all she's ever had. Poor thing. She's been deprived. Okay. We would take those toys from the bottom of the toolbox. Toy box. And we would take those toys, put them in a bag, pull them out and just put them somewhere in the dining room, living room and say, Taylor, somebody gave us all these toys. Do you think you'd want them? And she pulls them out. Because they've been in the bottom of the toy box and haven't seen them for so long. She says, oh, these are great. I would love to play with these. These are awesome. I've never seen these before. But they were in the bottom of her toy box. A lot of times when you first get something, you're so excited about it. And then as time goes on, you'll let that car get a little dirtier. As time goes on, you'll let that toy gather in the bottom of the toolbox. As time goes on, you get used to what you have. A lot of times, our Sunday school teachers, our workers, and maybe you as a church member, have gotten so used to Promised Land, have gotten so used to Scripture, have gotten so used to the Bible, have gotten so used to being saved, that you forget what it was like when it was brand new. You forget what it was like, and it gathers dust in the bottom of the toy box. Or we don't wash it as often as we once did when we first had it. And that's a lot of times our relationship with God. We're not as diligent as we were. Maybe you're a teacher. Speaking of diligent teachers, be sure, teachers, that's a commercial break right here, but be sure, take your class serious. And if you can't be here, make a phone call. Have somebody to fill in for you. Try to be here for your students. Time back in. Okay, here we go. Back to revival, we don't take things serious enough. We take it for granted. Because why? Because we've had it for so long. Pardon me. In our bulletin, Miss Denise typed in there two names. I shared this with some others already. Brother Eddie Williams is in that prayer list. And Brother Ernie Hopper, they're trapped in Sudan, Africa right now. They're two of our more famous, more successful missionaries in the country of Kenya. They went in there on information fact-finding and also helping somebody out. And they closed Sudan, which is one of the most Christian-killing Muslim countries in the world. They kill Christians every day. And now Ernie Hopper and Eddie Williams are trapped there with the borders closed and the American embassy is threatening on closing down, which is their last hope for getting out of the country without being smuggled out. So pray that the door would open. And that's somebody, I mean, they don't take it for granted, but they live on the front lines where we live in the Bible Belt. And because we live in the Bible Belt, it's easy to take something, freedom of religion, freedom to express ourselves, freedom to stand up and preach, freedom to say, I'm going to church, and I've been to church before with a missionary over here, and we go through 6 military checkpoints on the business end of an AK-47, and I say, you do this every Sunday? And he says, yeah. And he's saying, pray that we make it through. That's whenever I hawked all the American chocolate I had in my duffel bag so I could get to church that Sunday. And he does that every day. Why do we need revival? Because we sleep. I think about the 3 disciples who went to sleep on Jesus. I think about the devil and this world have put Christians to sleep. I'm so thankful that there's enough Christians. I was talking to Miss Gloria. We had the privilege of sitting across from Miss Gloria and Brother Pete at the seniors going to eat out at Cowboys, and I'd never been there in Monticello. And she was telling me about living in California, and she said, Brother Michael, there are a lot of Christians still in California. We don't hear from them very often, but I was so glad that enough of them voted that marriage is supposed to be between one man and one woman. And I'm not being political, I'm being Bible, okay? Because that's what the Bible says. And there's enough Christians that stood up and that made it that way. We sleep and things happen. We sleep and prayer goes out of school. We sleep and we lose our freedoms. We sleep and our country becomes socialist. We sleep and our Christian values go down the drain. We sleep and it's okay for everybody to shack up together. It's okay for pregnancy outside of wedlock. It's okay to get drunk on Saturday night and come to church on Sunday morning. It's okay to cuss and gossip and talk about people and come to church and smile and give each other a hug. Because right is wrong and wrong is right. Because we sleep, we don't know what right or wrong is anymore. Because we don't look in God's Word. That's why we need revival. When will we see revival? When the Holy Spirit convicts, and I won't turn over there. It's there for you if you want to look it up. But John 16 says the Holy Spirit will always convict of sin. And sin is wrong. But I don't need revival because Brother Michael, me and the man upstairs have an understanding. And I don't need to get closer with God. They need to get closer with God. I'm just as good as them. And if you're pointing at anybody else in this room or thinking about somebody in this community, you've missed the whole point. I need revival. Let revival start with me. I'm a sinner. I'm not as close to God as I ought to be. And I'm not dare going to mind somebody else's business when mine is already messed up. When we'll receive a revival, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, in just a few more minutes, we're going to have an invitation. And I think we're just going to have the instruments playing. And we're going to have every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you feel uncomfortable, it's probably the Holy Spirit working in your heart. When we'll receive revival? When the saved confess, back in our 1 John thing, it says, let me back up to verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, or paraphrase Michael Reese version, if we're saved we don't sin as much as so-and-so, you done messed up verse 8. I don't sin, or I don't sin as much as they do. You know what they did last week? Again, you missed it. It's for you. is not for us to look at somebody else and compare us to somebody else. We're the only person you need to compare yourself is Jesus, and the Bible says we all fall short, and God doesn't expect us to be perfect, just forgiven. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Isn't that what Michael Reese is trying to say? You're fooling yourself. And I do too. If I look at somebody and in our flesh, hey, if you've ever done that, don't kick yourself in the backside. Say, oh, man, I did do that. I compare myself to people all the time. It's okay. Just say, I need to stop. And I need to look at my heart. Because my flesh does it all the time. I'll look at other preachers or I'll look at other families and think, man, and I got Karen Reese as my wife. Yeah. Hey, hey, hey. And I got three kids, and yeah, man, three. God, and man, think of somebody else's family. And I know I shouldn't say that, but that's stupid. Only thing I've got is by the grace of God. And I don't ever need to look and think I'm any better. I am not. And if you fall into that trap, that's the devil's trap. I've seen people that have blamed themselves for other people's choices. And I've tried to preach ever since I've been here that put away your mistakes in your past. Paul did. Live for God today and for the rest of your life. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, and lastly, because for some reason I just was hitting a mental block, I could not find this scripture, but I found it. If you will, go to Micah. It's not in your outline. Go to Micah. And we're fixing to end on this. But I want to finish up with this last point. I need to get things right with God. I want to have revival. I want our church to have revival. And so, here's what I need to do. Confess and say, God, I've messed up. And I need to get closer to You. In the book of Micah, chapter 7, I'll give you a chance to find it because it's not the biggest book in the Bible. One of those verses that talks about casting. God says, I will remember your sins no more. In Micah 7:19, that He'll cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. And we say this, sometimes we say, the sea of forgetfulness. Because God does say, I will remember your sins no more. And I'll put them away. As far as, as it says in another place, as the east is from the west. As our musicians come, prepare for a song. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, I know that I need revival. Even if this revival is only for me, it's only for me and my family, I pray that we'd have revival. Father, things are not always right in my life. Every day I have to cling to You. Every day I have to confess to You that I need You. I need You now more than ever. The devil, as a roaring lion, wants to devour these families, these marriages, these homes, these testimonies that are here this morning. Some marriages this morning are on the brink of disaster. Some people's lives in here this morning are on the brink of falling apart. Father, that's why we need You. That's why we need revival. That's why we need to get things right with you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. As we all stand, as every head is bowed and every eyes closed, the musicians are just going to play. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Whether you come down to the front right now, I want you to come. If you need to come to the altar, if you want to pray right where you're at,